What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yason. I am your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by my old co-host. He is Joe Pisapia. He can be found on Twitter at JoePisapia17. Joe, how are you today, my friend? It is good to see you.
First off, Kyle Yates, I just want to say as a fellow entrepreneur how proud I am personally that you have gone off and created the playbook here and doing everything that you're doing here. And it's very exciting for you. And I think whenever you take ownership of your own path, that is always like the most exciting thing I think anybody can do. So learn from Kyle Yates, everybody. Take a good look. And this is what it looks like. And I'm just so happy for you because it seems like you are really enjoying this new spirit of what you got going here. And I feel like you are so energetic about it all. And I think it's great. And I love the people you're bringing in to work with too. I think some of the great people in the industry, some personal friends of mine too, that I even took out to dinner. You know who you are, Laquan Jones. You know who you are. But look, I'm excited for you, man. And it's fun to hang out again. It's been a while.
Thank you so much for the kind words, Joe. I will say this, I'm having so much fun. It is a absolute beast to run your own company. So for those who think this is a breeze, it is not. Let me just tell you right away, it is not. All right, we got an awesome show here today talking about some tips and tricks on how to dominate your fantasy football league going into 2022. Before we get into that, we got a couple things here to talk about. Let's have a fun little game here. And I know that we are not in fantasy football season yet. Your drafts probably haven't taken place, so you can't actually trade these players, but it's a fun little way to look at some players that are back to back to back in ADP and have a fun little discussion of them. Let's talk keep, trade, cut here. Joe, I'm going to say three names to you that are back to back to back in underdog ADP here. So let's take a look at the running back position. RB 17 through 19, that is Ezekiel Elliott, Breece Hall, and Cam Akers. With those three running backs, which one are you keeping? Which one are you trading? Which one are you cutting?
Well, I'm going to keep Cam Akers because I think in terms of return on investment there, I think there's still upside we haven't quite seen yet. So I love the offense, what the Rams do. I think there's real potential for Cam Akers to be the guy. I think the fact that he came back last year, we're almost holding it against him. And I don't think that's fair. Coming back from an Achilles is not easy. So I don't know what people expected, like he was going to rip off 6 yards per carry or something like that. Like, no, this is not an easy thing to do. And that's why people should be a little concerned with James Robinson. Like, just because he's playing doesn't mean he's back being the guy he was a year ago. So you have to take that under consideration. Now, so that's the guy that I'm keeping. The guy that I'm probably going to trade away is Breece Hall because, man, people love expectations and high expectations. Guys who haven't been in the league yet. And although the Jets really did improve the offensive line, and I thought they had a great draft. And for me to say nice things about the Jets, it's hard. I mean, that is a tough sell. You know, you've been with me a long time. So to me, he has so much value because based off of potential. And I think, unfortunately, Zeke is the guy that I drop, quote unquote. And I still think Zeke has plenty of value this year, especially now that he's being more appropriately valued in ADP. Sure. But I think that unless you got some great Cowboy fan in your league that really wants him, where they're going to overpay, I think at this point, you look at the older running back, you look at Tony Pollard's presence there. So to me, that would be the guy that I would drop. So that's how I would rank those three guys.
I'm going to agree with you on trading Breece Hall because I think the value and expectation, the trade market is the highest for him, right? People don't want to trade for Ezekiel Elliott in your league. People are kind of concerned about Akers. So I'm going to keep Ezekiel Elliott, though. I do have some really, really high expectations for him this year in that offense. So I will keep Zeke. I'll trade Breece Hall, but then cutting Cam Akers just seems wrong because I do acknowledge that the upside is there. However, just looking at that situation, I do have Ezekiel Elliott ranked higher than Cam Akers this year. Let's go to the wide receiver position. Let's go wide receivers 20 through 22 and underdogs ADP. Deontay Johnson, Gabriel Davis, and Allen Robinson. Two very, very hot names in the fantasy football community going into this year. Which one are you keeping? Which one are you trading? That's Deontay Johnson, Gabriel Davis, and Allen Robinson.
Man, oh man, I am absolutely 100% keeping Gabriel Davis. You know, last year you did enough mock drafts with me. That was my dude,
We were all in. We were all in on Gabe Davis.
It's funny. I started to look back. I even think I should do a piece on it. Like all the guys that I was in on last year, you should be in on this year because they all worked out eventually, but I was wrong because it took too long. Like Amon-Ra St. Brown, all my last picks, Gabriel Davis, like those guys, I'm keeping those guys. I want those guys. I think the most value you potentially have in a trade is trading off Allen Robinson because there's always this like weird sunny disposition of the old fart wide receiver who might be past his prime. But look, he's got a second life and we've seen it absolutely tank last year with AJ Green. And now we might get 2.0 with Julio Jones. Like I love Julio Jones, like deep in my soul, I love this player so much, but I'm really concerned about what he's got left in the tank and all the injuries he's had and where he is age-wise. And I feel like Allen Robinson, you know, that fresh paint of coat, as my old friend from the South likes to say. I'm telling you, like, I feel like Allen Robinson has a little bit more value than we realize. And I don't want to drop Deontay Johnson. Like, I don't want to cut him. It hurts me to do that. But I think in terms of where people value right now with that transition at quarterback, because it's so unknown, I think, unfortunately, you know, I don't think he's going to bring as much trade value, which is kind of the point you were making earlier.
Yeah, it feels wrong again, like with Cam Akers, it feels wrong to cut Deontay Johnson, but I'm going to agree with you there because I'm keeping Allen Robinson very, very high on Allen Robinson this year, and I'm going to trade away Gabriel Davis. Now, I am very, very excited about Davis this year. I think that he has the potential to rise into the top 15 alongside Stephon Diggs this year. However, that trade value there is definitely sky high for Gabriel Davis. And I think Allen Robinson, depending on the league manager, you could get that value, but I'm going to keep Allen Robinson. I'll trade Gabriel Davis. Cut Deontay Johnson. Again, that feels wrong to say. Let's move into some latest news here since the last episode. Justin Ross, the wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, was placed on IR after foot surgery and is out for the 2022 NFL season. He was a UDFA, very, very talented wide receiver here out of Clemson, but is going to have to wait until the 2023 season to make a mark in the NFL. Guy who just cannot escape injury. So if you got him on a dynasty roster, move him to the taxi squad or outright cut him. Joe Burrow underwent surgery on his appendix. When that tweet came through, the first five words of that tweet scared the absolute tar out of me. Joe Burrow underwent surgery on his appendix, but is not expected to miss significant time. We should have him back on the field here in a couple of weeks. Irv Smith, the tight end for the Minnesota Vikings, is expected to fully participate in training camp, which is good news. Chris Carson is retiring from the NFL, the running back for the Seattle Seahawks. Now, there was a lot of discussion with the Seattle backfield earlier on this offseason and trying to project Rashad Penny, Ken Walker, how this is going to work. If Chris Carson is going to come back, does not look like he is going to be able to come back with dealing with that neck injury, retiring from the NFL. Joe, what are your thoughts here on this Seattle backfield now that it gets a little bit clearer?
Yeah. Hey, look, I was on somebody who was anticipating Chris Carson making an impact, so it doesn't make it super clear for me necessarily. But I do believe that it's a good thing in terms of the clarity for the value on these two players. So where you were worried about that third party coming in and potentially taking some carries away at some point in the season, you don't have to worry about that. I still think, and I got to give full credit to you, Rashad Penny was somebody you were on. I was not. And last year he had him and Devin Singletary. I mean, I had Singletary in a bunch of leagues, and I know you had Rashad Penny, and we made some playoff runs. I guarantee you on those teams. And I think he is being devalued right now to a point where he's interesting. I mean, he is so cheap. And the fact that you could probably snag Walker either like right around there too, if you just want to dive into that backfield as a whole and just say, you know, I'm a little light at running back. Maybe I've got two picks. Maybe they're both on the board. Maybe I just take the Seattle backfield and I try to control it and see how it plays itself out. And you have a little insurance. So I don't think there's a bad way there because it's really cost effective. I like Walker as a downfield kind of runner. Some questions about whether or not he can catch the football at the NFL level, how he'll work into the passing role there. But the thing with Penny is health. I mean, that's always been the thing with Penny. So you don't have to pay a lot to find out. And I think taking Carson out of the equation helps.
With that, the state of the offense, I don't know if that upside is necessarily there for either of these guys, unless, you know, injury kind of clears up the conversation or situation there, where if Rashad Penny does deal with injury again, where you got Ken Walker, where you get him in drafts, he could be a top 15 running back if he is the sole guy in this backfield. It's still just a risky investment, though, with the state of that offense for either of these guys. It really did not move the needle for either of these guys, though, with the Chris Carson news, because I was projecting Chris Carson to miss this season. Mohamed Sanu signed with the Miami Dolphins. Julio Jones signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's talk about Julio a little bit more interesting of a veteran wide receiver signing there than Mohamed Sanu. Julio Jones with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, you kind of alluded to it when we were talking about keep trade cut. What are your expectations here for Julio Jones landing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
My expectations are that I will have some exposure as long as it doesn't get out of control, but I fear that's not going to be the case. Like, as we get into August, I can already tell my colleagues are very excited about this. So for Fantasy Pros, they were talking about it yesterday. It happened while we were on a show together, and Matthew Friedman lost his mind. He was so excited about it. And I feel like, look, the guy's in his 30s now. He's missed a lot of time. I know last year wasn't a great situation. I know the Falcons year 2 years ago wasn't a great situation either, but I feel like if he can fit into the old Gronk role, like if he's going up the seam to catch some of those balls because he's that bigger bodied wide receiver, I think that's more, you know, the guy in the red zone kind of thing. That I think has appeal as long as it comes at a cheap cost. I know people are already going to anoint him as a low end wide receiver two or a high end three. I don't know if I can get there. It does certainly shade my feelings about Chris Godwin. It shades my feelings about Russell Gage was a player I was very much in on until yesterday. Now I'm a little more concerned potentially about how that all shakes out. I still think Tom Brady is going to throw the ball all over the place. I don't care who the coach is. It's Tom Brady. I still feel good about Mike Evans. That's the guy that is kind of bulletproof for me. But now all of a sudden, the Julio Jones acquisition, I think muddies the field for the other guys. And to me, that's unfortunate because there were some value, especially on guys like Gage later. Now it's kind of like you're throwing darts and you just hope weekly you're right. And I don't like those situations.
Yeah, I think for me with Chris Godwin too, this is a part of the news was that right after the Julio Jones signing was announced was that Chris Godwin was not going to land on the PUP. So he could be out there on the field for week one. So we could have Chris Godwin back. Now he's not going to be 100%, but yet he is going to be on the field and playing some amount of snaps. I think for this, my take on it with Julio Jones landing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is that I think he slides into that wide receiver four role. And if you're Tom Brady, you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're chasing after a title here with the players that you've got with Tom Brady at what, 45, 44 years old, go get Julio Jones as your wide receiver four as an upgrade over Breshad Perriman or Jalen Darden or, you know, Tyler Johnson. Like, why wouldn't you go after Julio Jones there as that valuable depth piece who can still bring you a level of excellence? I mean, it's Julio Jones. And he could still bring a lot to the table. And yet you can still acknowledge that Russell Gage was paid $10 million per year. He is not going to ride the bench over Julio Jones, who they could have signed early on in free agency and chose to get Gage instead. So I think for me, this is a depth signing. I don't think Julio Jones is going to see a ton of work. Maybe at the beginning of the season, he sees some work as Chris Godwin is rehabbing and coming back to full strength. But I do not think that Julio Jones
enters. And that might
be
a good thing. Right, for Julio, like the fact that he's not on the field as much, like it might be the path to keeping him, you know, a little bit healthier as the season goes on. So I'm all for that, but it becomes such a difficult thing now week to week. I mean, DFS maybe want to take some shots, but season long, sure. Like I just, you know, like what if Russell Gage gets a bunch of targets and then they get down there and Julio gets a touchdown and they all end up kind of being even? You're like, oh, right. You know, it's a very difficult game of Russian roulette to play with those wide receivers right now.
Hey, fantasy sports fans, are you ready for a new challenge this year? Dynasty Owner is the new way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding the strategy of running an actual franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique and challenging experience that will test your skills as an owner and general manager. You will have complete control over your team's future. You can build through the draft, make trades, sign free agents, and manage your team's salary cap. Do you think you can create a dynasty of champions? Sign up now at dynastyowner.com and get started on building your dynasty. Use the promo code PLAYBOOK for $5 off your next team. Again, that's sign up at dynastyowner.com to get started on building your dynasty today and use the promo code PLAYBOOK for $5 off of your next team.
Yeah, and I think with Julio, like he can go chasing after a title here in Tampa Bay, right? And if the conversation was, hey, you can come into Green Bay and you can kind of, because those were the two teams that were kind of vying for Julio Jones at this point, like you can sign in Green Bay and play in Green Bay over the winter, or you can go to Tampa Bay where the weather's a lot nicer. I think that there's some other things there just besides the amount of playing time that he's going to be given. So go chase after a title for Julio Jones at this point of his career, play some valuable, some valuable snaps week in and week out, but not necessarily enough to provide consistent fantasy contributions. That's kind of the way that I'm approaching it. A couple more things here. Rondale Moore is expected to have an increased role this season. Now, this is kind of what you kind of hear at this point. You know, this player is expected that, but this came directly from Cliff Kingsbury. So interesting to note there with Rondale Moore going into this year that he is expected to have an increased role this season with Christian Kirk out of town. And the 49ers have, quote, moved on to Trey Lance. At this point, we are waiting to see the trade happen for Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know who's going to be trading for Jimmy Garoppolo, just looking at the quarterback landscape across the league right now. He could be outright released. We'll have to wait and see. All right, remember,
buried that lead. You are Mr. Trey Lance.
I've got the shirt on right now.
I know.
I've got the shirt on.
You got the shirt on. You buried the lead. I thought that would be the first thing we talked about today because you and I felt like we're the biggest Trey Lance supporters in the universe 2 years ago at the draft. And then like that, this is it. This is your Christmas.
Well, here's the thing, man. I'm not leading into this because this should have been the expectation all along, right? Like this is what I had this, you know, celebration 5 months ago, whereas people are just having it right now. All right. Do not forget, you have just a few days left to get entered into the AJ Brown signed full size Eagles helmet giveaway courtesy of Pristine Auction. Go over to the ffplaybook.com.
/giveaway for all the details. The link is in the show description here over on YouTube or in the show notes wherever you are listening to this podcast. Also, the free Discord community is growing at a rapid rate. Beginning of July, we had 100 premium members. Open it up to free. We are now over 750 wow. people in the Discord community. So make sure to, again, write in the link here in your show description, in your show notes, over on podcast. Join that free Discord, get involved in the community, and get ready to dominate your fantasy football league this year. Speaking of dominating your fantasy football league this year, Joe, let's talk some tips and tricks here for the people. You and I have been playing fantasy football for a long time. We have some things here to share as we go into 2022, some things that we have learned along the way. We want to share that knowledge. So, Joe, I'm going to turn this over to you. Tip number 10. I don't know how we want to order this. Tip number 5 for you. Let's do a countdown style here, my friend. What is the first thing that you want to share here as a tip to dominate your fantasy football league as we go?
You had me worried a second. I was like, I only got 5. Was I supposed to have 10 now? Now I'm looking at my notes. Well, Black Book 101, and it's about building core roster strength. The draft is just the beginning of the process. I think people get way too hung up on, I need a running back. I need this. No. You need to draft the best assets that are available on the board to you at all times at the beginning of drafts, because that's how you build a good team. If you have a surplus somewhere, that's not a problem. That's a strength. I think people sometimes overlook that or underthink that. And it's something in the Black Book for years I've been trying to stress to people. And when you do it, you tend to have really good rosters that are very high floor, high ceiling early on. And then you can always fill in those gaps, especially at the tight end position, especially at the potential running back position too, because those positions get a little bit more turnover sometimes in the waiver wire. You might get a Dalton Schultz that pops. You might get, sure. you know, certain running backs like Rashad Penny and Devin Singletary, who are just out there for free that you can actually add. So I can't stress enough, early on, make sure in the first 4 rounds, you are building a core that you know every week, that's going to be your core that you're going to go out there with, compete. They're going to have high volume, high opportunity, high upside, high floor, high ceiling. Build core roster strength, acquire great assets. You can always make trades. You can always play the waiver wire, but you can't get star powers. Get those stars, get your strength early and often.
The Fantasy Playbook is partnering with Prize Picks leading into the 2022 NFL season. If you are looking for a way to get involved in some NFL future over-unders going into this year, join me here in playing over on Prize Picks. Getting started is super easy. Head over to prizepicks.com and sign up with the promo code FFPlaybook. That's going to get you a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Then you pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. So let's take a look at some of these NFL futures and some of the over-unders I like. Let's focus on the passing yards category for this one, and let's look at Trey Lance and Baker Mayfield. For Lance, he has a prop right now of 3,450.5 passing yards. As he's now been declared the starting quarterback, he would have to just clear 202 passing yards each game to reach that threshold. For as many playmakers as he has in that offense, this seems like an easy bet to make, and I'm taking the over here. For Baker Mayfield, we don't even know if he's going to be the starting quarterback for all 17 games yet in Carolina. Right now, you can get the under on his 3,750.5 passing yards projection, and that seems like an easy bet to make for someone who I still have a ton of questions about. From there, it's just a few clicks and you're ready to roll for 2022. Get involved in the incredibly easy way to play some over-unders and the opportunity to win 10 times on any entry over at prizepicks.com with the code FFPlaybook. Again, that's the code FFPlaybook to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100.
How does that correlate or contrast, to draft strategies? Going in with a set strategy, what are your thoughts there on building that core roster strength?
Well,
but then in comparison to some of these draft strategies that people go into drafts and say, this is what I'm going to do.
I'm going to bury the lead Trey Lance style on you. I'm going to save that for my number one,
right,
because that ties right into my number one. It's a very good question. Number one. We'll save that.
We'll get
might
to
have
it.
To do it, Trey Lance. Who knows?
We'll get to it. All right. For me here as tip number 9, I will go here. Don't reach for players just because they're on your favorite team. Now, this is something where we see this every single year, and this kind of seems obvious, right? But every single year I see pictures of, you know, people sending me screenshots of their drafts and everything like that. And they say, you know, what do you think of my team? And I see that they reach for this player. I'm like, oh, you are a Bengals fan, aren't you? I can obviously tell, because when Joe Mixon and Ja'Marr Chase went off the board in the first round, you reached 15 picks and you grabbed T. Higgins or something along those lines just because they're on your favorite team. Now, I understand that we should have fun in playing fantasy football. If you want to get players that are on your
favorite team because that's going to make fantasy football more fun for you, then please do that. However, at the same time, we have to keep that in mind when we're looking at ADP, which stands for average draft position. When we're looking for these players that are coming up in our queue and reaching on them way more than we should, which is going to take away from some very, very valuable players that could help you win a championship right away. If you want those favorite players, go trade for them later on after the draft. Go and send away some of that value and put together some of these other picks that you've made throughout the rest of your draft. Don't sacrifice value just to go get those players that are on your favorite team. So something interesting to keep in mind there. I see it happen every single year. Wanted to make sure that we mentioned it. Let's turn it back over to you here for tip number eight.
All right, tip number eight, talent is awesome, and awesome talent is great. But understand that just because a guy is super talented, if they play in a bad offense, especially with bad quarterback play, it's going to limit them to a certain extent. And I think as fantasy analysts, many times you'll hear people talk about this talent of this player and how great this player is, right, and all the upside of this player. But you don't talk enough about the offense itself. I know Matt Harmon likes to use the word ecosystem a lot, and it's a good word. Environment, ecosystem, whatever you want to call it. It's important. It's crucial, in fact, because if you look at the fantasy players that perform on a weekly basis or have good seasons, typically speaking, they're within good offenses. Now, it's not to say you can't get good productivity from players on bad teams. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? Perfect example right. Last year. My goodness, was he good for the last 8 weeks of the season? That was quite a run. But there's a difference between looking for those players later, and there's a difference between people who are super excited about guys like Breece Hall or Garrett Wilson, and I keep coming back to the same thing. Well, they're playing with Zach Wilson, and he has shown you nothing so far on the NFL level. So you have to temper your expectations. Just because a player has talent doesn't necessarily mean that he can be a huge fantasy asset right away to you, because sometimes they're a little handicapped by the quarterback play and the offense that they live in.
Does DK Metcalf fall into that category for you this year?
He does until Jimmy Garoppolo gets cut and he ends up in Seattle. And then maybe I feel a little bit better about it, but not much. But yes, I think he's a perfect example. And you see the devaluing of DK Metcalf, and you see people still drafting him with it. I feel like an odd sense of clarity and confidence.
Confidence, that right.
I don't get. It happened yesterday on the show, and I was like, why are we feeling so great about DK Metcalf here? I got to understand, like, he might have like six good games at some point. But the Drew Lock situation, I mean, that's a perfect example, right? How much do we love Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, all those guys, right? How much were they held back by the quarterback play last year in right. Denver? A lot.
Yeah, I think that the overall, not just the quarterback play, but then the overall state of the offense, how, you know, how run heavy they're going to be here, how many plays per game they're going to run. I think that as you were talking about it, DK Metcalf came to mind. Exactly. Because yeah, and I want DK Metcalf on my roster this year because I love the talent, but I'm not going to spend that ADP. I'll get him as a wide receiver three on my roster. Sure. I'm not going to get him though. I'm not going to get him there because he's still going way higher than that. All right. For me here, tip number seven, take in information here as we move throughout August, as we move throughout the draft season here for fantasy football, take in all this information, listen to many different people, but formulate your own opinions. And this is something where I want to do here on this podcast. This is why I have Joe. This is why I have so many great guests on this show, is to give you other opinions other than my own. If Joe and I disagree on a player, we're going to present those arguments, and I want you to make those opinions. I want you to have the information at your hand to say, you know what, this argument made a little bit more sense to me. This is kind of what I was thinking as well. This is my opinion now. Or I kind of fall in between the both sides of the argument. This is something where don't just blindly listen to someone, lock into one analyst, focus in on many different analysts here, and kind of pick your core analysts that you enjoy listening to and everything like that. That's what I want to do here on this podcast, but then formulate your own opinions. Don't just blindly copy and paste what an analyst is doing there. Formulate your own opinions. That's going to drastically help you here and become a better and smarter fantasy football player. All right, let's turn it back over to you here. Tip number six.
All right, the next one here is more of a current situation in terms of starting to reprogram our brains a little bit. The wide receiver position in the NFL is extremely important. It's extremely important in fantasy. I know everybody still loves to go with these early running backs. I have pivoted off that. I am Justin Jefferson right behind Yates there. You can see him in the picture. I am Ja'Marr Chase. I am Cooper Kupp. I am Davante Adams. I am Stephon Diggs. I'm somebody who's building. If you give me the pick at the turn and you give me Davante Adams and Diggs, I'm going to take that every time. If you are giving me a top five pick and you're giving me my choice, if I can get Jefferson or Chase, I'm taking those guys. And the reason is, I think the league has changed. I also think when you look at where the value is in some of these running backs, and everyone keeps talking about the running back dead zone, and that's a very popular term this year. It's a lot of guys I like in there. There's guys like Travis Etienne that I like in there. There's guys like AJ Dillon that I like in there. There's a lot of players that you can get that are going to have, I think, positive impacts on your fantasy team and cost you a lot less. And I think this war of injury attrition, we keep banging our heads against the wall year in, year out, the last few seasons with these big time investments in running backs who get hurt, whether it be CMC, Saquon, any of those guys. So I think at the end of the day, we have to start understanding that, yeah, you can build your team around big time wide receivers and even elite quarterback play. Because if you have an Allen or you have a Herbert, you know, people have, oh, we can always get the quarterbacks late. And maybe you can, maybe you get the Jalen Hurts who pops, maybe you get Trey Lance this year and he pops. That's great. But at the same time, you know, Josh Allen's pretty good in terms of weekly productivity. Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, those guys give you a lot of fantasy points. And I think it's okay to structure your teams that way and start to reprogram our brains that you don't have to start with a running back anymore. You can do it differently and you can have success, even not in super flex, going early quarterback, going early wide receiver.
All right. For me here at tip number, what are we, five? Tip number five. This is hard to keep track of. All right. Tip number five here, just to keep moving as we're getting a little tight on time. Tip number five, know your settings. Obviously know what kind of settings that you are going into your league with. Is it a super flex? Is it a one quarterback? That's kind of key, but know your league mates. And for people who are drafting randomly with different people, that's a different conversation. But if you are in that type of league that you've been in for more than 1 year, know your league mates, know what kind, what they're going to do. And I get questions about this all the time in the Discord or on Twitter. And they're like, okay, when should I be looking to take my quarterback because in a super flex league, because my league just does not value quarterbacks highly. That is so crucial and key to be able to have an understanding of what your league mates, do you have someone in your league who's going to reach for a player just because they're on that favorite team? Are they a Cowboy fan? Are they going to reach for a CeeDee Lamb in the first round or Ezekiel Elliott or Tony Pollard, right? These different kind of facets and nuances to your league give you that competitive advantage in your draft. So understanding and kind of paying attention, at least through the first few rounds too, you can kind of get a sense for how the rest of your draft is going to unfold. That's key to know your league mates and to know where these players are going to fall. If you're the league is very, very excited about young players and these rookies that are coming into the league, don't reach for those players. Take advantage of the veterans that are falling to you in drafts because the rest of your league is overvaluing that youth. That's key and crucial there. So take some time, think about that as you go into your draft. Know your settings, obviously, but knowing your league mates could give you a huge competitive advantage in your draft this year. Tip number four, Joe, let's send it back to you.
That was tip number four. This is tip number three because I only got two left. So if I started, I'm odds and you're evens. That's just basic Brooklyn math. And I'm taking it old school,
all right, whatever.
quick math there. I'm going to give you a concept pivot. This is a new thing that I'm very much in on this year, which is, okay, I'd really like to get Lamar Jackson at that value of quarterback. Oh, I didn't get him. Okay, well, the next thing is maybe I make sure that I get the rushing quarterback at a value if I get Jalen Hurts. Oh, he was really valued in this draft too. Okay, well, then I'm going to pivot to Trey Lance. Oh, no, I didn't get Trey Lance. Well, maybe I'll take Justin Fields. It's identifying the same upside in players that you see. It's looking at the board of wide receivers and say, oh, I really like Hunter Renfro this year. I think he's going to get a fair amount of targets still. Oh, he's gone. You know, Alan Lazard's kind of there, and he's probably open for a lot of targets. Fits the same bill. Maybe he's not going to have a million touchdowns, but maybe he's going to have a fair amount of opportunity. Start to target players in concepts of like, I like this player, but if I don't get this player, who's my plan B, my plan C? And I think that is a very important thing structurally because it allows the draft to come to you. I think that is a very important thing. So the concept pivot, I like this idea. I like this style player. I like this situation, this offense. Oh no, that's not the only player that fits that bill. Find their doppelgangers, as you will, and make sure you have those plans B and C to implement in the draft.
I'm surprised you didn't throw a Friends reference in there, Joe. Concept pivot.
Pivot. Well, I did throw a doppelganger, which is a How I Met Your Mother for you.
There we go. I like it. All right. I don't know what tip we're on, but I've got two left. All right. Here we go. Be prepared.
This is three.
Three. Okay. Be prepared in your draft.
No, it's two.
No, this is three.
This is three. You're off.
Three, two, one. This is three, two, one. Yes. Be prepared in your draft. Do not get caught up in the conversation that's happening around your draft and then panic. Oh, I'm on the clock. Oh, the player that I wanted is off the board. Pay attention as you're going throughout your draft. And be sober. All right. This is a key thing for your drafts here. I know that as you get together for your drafts, you want to have a few drinks. That's great. But do not go too far where you lose your ability to rationally think about your draft and your team when you get to the end of it and go, did I draft this team? That's a clear indication that you are messed up, that you messed up, and you're probably not going to win very many games in your fantasy football league this year. Be prepared as you're going throughout your draft. Do pay attention as you're coming up and have multiple players in your queue. So that way, when the pick before you goes off the board and that was your player, you don't have a panic and you have a panic pick. You have that extra plan in place there, that extra player that you're willing to draft there, ready up in the queue. You don't panic there. And then additionally, just be sober. Drink after the draft. It's a key thing there. All right, let's throw it back to you. Pick or tip number two.
I was wrong. I apologize. My odds and evens, my brain is not functioning well because I'm still covering baseball and football at the same time. I was thinking in my head, oh, we started at one, but we didn't. We started at 10. So I was evens, you were odds. This is the stuff I miss. Us hanging out and getting things wrong. This is the best. All right, the most important thing, which was the teaser that I put out there earlier. Be prepared, be flexible. That is the number one thing I can tell you. Every draft is going to be like a snowflake. They're going to be completely different. There's going to be, as Yates was saying, people who have different tendencies in different drafts, people who are homers in certain drafts, people who have all the sophisticated software that's telling them what to do sometimes. There's all these different variables. So every draft is going to be different. So with number two, again, my distinct apologies to Yates on the numbers. We should have gotten together ahead of time on this. But be prepared. Be prepared. Know the depth. Know your tiers. Know the players you like, the players you don't. Identify what I was saying earlier, those plans B and C. And then be flexible. Understand that you're not going to necessarily get everybody. You want to go get your guys, but at the same time, make sure you're flexible and let the draft come to you. And it might be some players end up on your roster that you didn't expect, but that's okay as long as you identify them as quality talent. So that's very important.
Does that go back to what we were talking about earlier with those strategies that you go into, the zero running back or the, you know, hero running back, different things like that, where you can go in and you can have that strategy identified as something that you really like. But if that goes off the rails because the first five or six picks of your draft were all running backs or all wide receivers, you know, they threw you for a loop, then you pivot at that point.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, when you're at the turns, it's easier to control a little bit. Like I know I can get Jonathan Taylor and then I can probably get two wide receivers if I really want, but maybe I should look at that. Maybe somebody made it to me that shouldn't have made it. And same thing at the turn at 12 or 10, you can control a little bit more. In the middle, it's much harder to control the draft. A lot of runs happen and you have kind of at the mercy of those runs. So you have to identify what's happening at all times in those drafts. But again, be prepared, be flexible. Those are the two most important things. And that's my big number one, which is really the number two because you're number one because this is your show.
All right, here we go. Tip number one, keep tuning in during the season and don't give up. This is something too where you can have an excellent draft. You're going to have an A-plus draft by every kind of software that grades your draft. You can have that A-plus and then you can get into week two and everything is off the rails, right? Keep tuning in during the season here, whether it is to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast, whether it's to the Fantasy Playbook Podcast, keeping up on the waiver wire shows and the trade targets, different things like that. Keep making those moves. Stay ahead of your competition here and don't give up. Every single year, Joe, we see it all the time. Every single year, we get the messages. I started out 0-5 or 1-4, and I turned it around and I won the championship because I stuck with it here. We see all the time people just give up at 0-3. They tune out and they stop paying attention to their fantasy football draft. That is a key mistake that a lot of people make where you could have, if you stayed, you know, stayed invested, paid attention, you could have turned things around and you could have gotten back into the playoff conversation. I say this all the time, make the playoffs in your fantasy football draft. Who knows what's going to happen after that point? We saw that last year, right? I had so many rock star teams that got knocked out in week, what was it, 15? Because that was, you know, Jamar Chase, they all just drastically underperformed, right? Those kind of things. Get into the playoffs. Who knows what's going to happen at that point? So keep tuning in during the season. Don't give up. Tip number one there from me. Joe, thank you so much for carving some time out, man. It was so much fun to chat on a podcast again. Why don't you let everyone know what you got going on over at Fantasy Pros and where they can find and follow more of your work?
Well, the feeling is mutual. The reunion was great fun. Hopefully we'll do it again sooner than later. And love to have you back on FP for a little fun reunion show there too anytime. But you can go check me out on Twitter machine at JoePizzaPia17. You can get the Fantasy Football Black Book over on the Amazon right now. It's out there crushing it as usual. And of course, you can check me out on Sports Grid every Sunday talking football and also, of course, some place called Fantasy Pros, which is new. So hopefully you enjoy that show. But this was great fun, great to hang out. And I think these are all really important things everybody should take to heart. Some of them sound simple or some of them sound like, yeah, I get that. But really think about them because I do think it's going to be the difference between you making the playoffs and not in a lot of leagues and having good drafts and having less than stellar drafts.
Absolutely. Again, thank you so much for carving some time out, Joe. All right. Remember, pristine auction giveaway, signed AJ Brown, full size Eagles helmet coming up here at the end of July. You have just a few days left to get entered into this, theffplaybook.com/giveaway for all the details on how to enter. Will take you less than 5 minutes. for a signed AJ Brown full-size Eagles helmet. All right, that'll do it for today's show. For Joe Pisapia, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.